Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 93, recorded December 30th, 2025. Woo-hoo.
Wow. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry
Happy
Christmas.
Happy New Year. I mean, happy Kwanzaa.
We're just a
all
day
that
or
shit.
Two away from New Year.
Hey. Thank Woo-hoo. God. Fuck 2025, man. Get that shit out of here.
Dude, I don't feel like 2026 is going to be any better, bro.
Hey, at least I have hope. At least I have hope that maybe it'll be better.
Yeah, could I be worse. I did have hope. It's starting to dwindle, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was a good year for horror.
It was a good year for horror, though.
Yeah, it was a good year for horror, both real and fictitious.
Yeah. The real horror that surrounds us and the horror that we see on film. Yes. All right. Let's not get too far off the rails here, and let's start talking horror news. All right. They released a trailer for Ready or Not 2, Here I Come.
Looks good.
Yeah, the trailer looked pretty decent. It picks up right where the first one left off. I really like that. Ready or Not 2 is upcoming film starring Samara Weaving, Catherine Newton, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Sean... Why the fuck is my screen like that?
Great cast.
Yes, it is. Soft wrap text. There we go. Elijah Wood, Olivia Cheng, a whole bunch of people in this thing. It looks really good. It's going to be in theaters spring 2026. The brief summary of it says the moments after surviving an all-out attack from the Ladones family, Grace, played by Samara Weaving, discovers she's reached the next level of nightmarish game. And this time with her estranged sister Faith, played by Catherine Newton, at her side. Grace has a chance to survive, to keep her sister alive, and claim the high seat of the council that controls the world. Four rival families are hunting her for the throne, and whoever wins rules it all.
I like that we got like three Scream Queens like lined up for this one.
Friday the 13th Part 2 is coming out on 4K. It's available to pre-order right now. It's the 45th anniversary of Friday the 13th Part 2.
Nice.
Yeah.
Digitally remastered?
Where are we at? 45th anniversary of Friday the 13th Part 2. What do you think about that, fellas? Holy shit.
Yeah, 45 years. Holy shit. Indeed. Holy shit, yeah. Indeed.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That means I was 5 years old when Part 2 came out. I think I watched it when I was 7.
I think I was like 10.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Yeah, I was...
All right, next. Joe Hill's short story, King Sorrow. I'm sorry, it's a big book. King Sorrow may get a TV series adaptation, according to Mashable.com.
I'm unfamiliar.
It's a big book, and it's good that they're not... It can't be a movie because it's like a 900 page book. So,
gotta be a series then.
Yeah. So I'm glad that they're making a series, which means they won't stomp all over the quality of the story. But here's a brief summary from, I looked up the book to see like what it's about. Author Oakes is a reader, a dreamer, and a student of Rockman College, Maine, renowned for its frosty winters and exceptional library and beautiful buildings. But his idly and burgeoning romance with Gwen Underfoot, it's shattered when a local drug dealer and her partner corner him into one of the worst crimes he can imagine, stealing rare books from the college library. Trapped and desperate, Arthur turns to his closest friends for comfort and help. Together, they dream up a wild, fantastical scheme to free Arthur from this cruel trap which he finds himself. Wealthy, irresistible Colin Wren suggests using the university the unnerving Kane journal bound in skin of its author to summon a dragon to do their bidding. The other brave, beautiful Allison Shiner and battling twins, Donna and Donovan McBride and brainy, bold Gwen, don't hesitate to join Colin in the effort to smash reality and bring a creature from the impossible into our world. But there's nothing simple about dealing with dragons, and their path to save Arthur becomes a terrifying bargain in which the six must choose a sacrifice for King Sorrow every year or become his next meal.
Dago and Cat just jumped up here and startled me. Came out of nowhere.
Is King Sorrow looking for a soul? Yeah, so I, you know, I've never read that book, but I heard it was really good. It got some really great reviews, and that's going to make it into a TV series. Sounds pretty
cool. Is it just greenlit or like?
Not even greenlit yet. Oh, this is it. Rumors. Seems to be mostly a rumor from Mashable.com.
Somebody read it and thought it would be a good movie/series.
Well, there's some rumors that someone very big is working on writing the screenplay.
Big as in like a fat person, or big as in like a well-known?
Big as in a big name in horror.
Okay. Because I was going to say, what does that have to do with anything, depending on the person's size?
Like, he's a big person. Peaky Blinders, the Immortal Man, a Fisher Teasel trailer of the Peaky Blinders movie. What?
Oh, wait, what?
Yes, Netflix released a teaser trailer of the Peaky Blinders movie.
I'm going to have to check that out. I didn't know that. Nice. I was looking forward
whatever
to that.
Happened, whatever happened to Tommy Shelby, the famous gypsy gangster? Peaky Blinders, the Immortal Man, premieres March 6th in select cinemas and March 20th on Netflix.
Gotta finish. I got like a season and a half left, believe it or not.
Really?
Yep.
It's a great show.
Yeah. I got more. I got like two seasons left, bro. I'm just too slow on that shit. All right. Blumhouse and Atomic Monster, for the first time, have reached past $1 billion worldwide box office, according to Deadline.
Oh my!
Yes.
What put them over the hump? What was the
Fast? Five Nights at Freddy's Part 2 and Five Nights at Freddy's Part 1 combined are the ones that pushed them over that.
Get limit. Out of town!
Yeah. I haven't seen either one yet.
I think 2 just did really well in the box office, didn't it?
Yeah, everybody said that was a killer film. I didn't watch it yet. But everyone says it's a must-see, that is very
good. I haven't even seen one.
Me neither.
Neither have I.
Do you have to see, I assume you have to see the first one to see the second one.
I would guess.
I think it's a continuation of the story.
Maybe I'll just wait for them to release all of them and then watch them. Like, I'll binge them. Because I think Matthew Lillard said he signed on for like 4 of them, didn't he?
Whoa, really?
Jesus, I think so.
I didn't know that. Dude, I can't believe that dumbass game got such a following that they got films that are actually.
It must be money. Just kids going to watch it, right?
Yeah, that's a younger, definitely younger. That's like my kids' generation, I think.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be kind of like the kids that went to go see. What was that film that did great over the summer? That Minecraft fucking movie.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Listen, I watched that on my way home from Pennsylvania back to L.A. What a fucking shitty film, man. That is fucking garbage.
It did so well, though. How it,
yeah.
Yeah, it's because of
because
the kids.
Because of the kids. Yeah, the kids. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I thought I liked the Mario movie when it came out. I wasn't expecting much, but I thought it was a really good movie. I was like, oh, nice. So I was like, maybe the Minecraft will be good, too. Like, maybe it'll, like, you know, be kind of like the Mario movie.
Dude,
and
it was fucking bad. It was really? Fucking bad. Mm. Yeah. Dude, I don't know. Your camera is starting to wig out again already. It's kind of weird how this happens. It's so weird.
I don't know, dude.
Hello,
like,
hello.
Or like your camera was great all this time, and then all of a sudden your first face just turns into a blob of white with 2 black dots.
I have no idea. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm in the same spot I always am. Like, no one turned a blender on or anything like that. I don't know.
It's fucking weird. It's really weird, bro. Anyway, Blumhouse and Atomic Monster, thank God. Round of applause for doing so well and bringing some shit to the horror genre. I love it. Love it. All right. Anaconda just released their final trailer right before the Christmas release of the film. And my understanding is not a lot of people have gone to see it. So that's a shame.
I think that's like 100% comedy, though, I think, right?
My friend Kevin went to see it and said it was good. Like he said his wife and daughter loved it. He thought it was acceptable. So
yeah, and my understanding is that they try to do like a comedy. There's some horror elements, you know, there's death involved, but
it's more comedy.
It's mostly comedy. Yeah,
which is fine. I like that.
Yeah,
we do know that Ice Cube made a cameo appearance in it too.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
He was in the original Anaconda film.
Nice. So.
Yeah, I think he was in the trailer I saw for.
Yeah,
I must have forgotten that.
Hollywood Reporter just says a whole bunch of stars signed on for the independent horror thriller Hannah Goes to Hell. Chrissy Fox, Adrienne Barbeau, and Aaron Abrams have all signed on.
I had a poster of Adrienne Barbeau
once. Yeah, back in the day, man.
Oh, yeah.
Cannonball Run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Creepshow.
Yeah.
Creepshow. Swamp Thing.
Really, she wasn't really sexy in that, but.
Well, no, but. Oh, yeah, Swamp Thing.
Yeah, Swamp Thing.
She was sexy in that.
Oh, yeah. And the nagging wife in the creep show.
Yeah. She was the opposite of sexy in here.
Yeah.
Hey, Harry.
I also liked her in Back to School. She was the cheating wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. She had that brief at the beginning of the movie, the cheating wife.
You're impossible. Oh, yeah? Well, you're easy.
Yeah, that's a pretty good Rodney Dangerfield, man.
Yeah. All right. Dead Silence is finally coming to 4K. I pre-ordered mine.
Nice.
It ships 17th of February from Shout Factory. What a great film. Oh, yeah. What a great James Wan film.
Was that his first one? 4K. That wasn't his first one.
I believe it was.
It was?
I believe it may have been.
It was his first.
It was a good flick. It's good that it's getting the 4K treatment.
Let's see. What is James Wan's very first horror film here? Let's see. He's got a lot in there, huh?
Sure does. That's what we should do for top five next year. Top five James Wans. I don't think we've done that before.
No. It would be good. There's enough.
Yeah.
Oh, so he didn't direct that one. He wrote it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So he wrote a bunch of shit before that and directed shit. Saw 2, Saw 3, Saw Rebirth.
Really? Saw was before Dead Silence, huh?
Yeah, Saw.
Well, directed, though, you're saying. Not.
Saw came out in 2004 and Dead Silence came out in 2007. No, he also wrote Saw. So he directed Saw 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and Saw 3D. But he wrote Saw 1, Saw 2, and...
Saw X.
Oh, he only wrote those two and then Saw 10, yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so he wrote Dead Silence, but did not direct it. Yeah, but great film. Great film. Love that
film. Indeed.
Opening scene. Come on now.
Hell yeah.
They go right to it. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, they're not playing any fucking games. Right in the beginning, they tell you this is going to be fucking scary.
Yep. Here's the puppet, bitch.
Yeah. I saw recent trailers for a new Dracula film coming out in 2026.
Oh, yeah, I did too.
With Christopher and it looks really Waltz good. In it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has Caleb really Landry good. Jones, Christoph Waltz, and Zoe Blue Saddell.
Yeah.
Directed by Luke Besson. Comes out February 6th. It's like real soon, too. And I'm like, God, where the fuck did this come from? I didn't hear anything about it.
No.
A 15th century prince played by Caleb Landry Jones denounces God after a devastating loss of his wife, played by Zoe Blue. He inherits an eternal curse and becomes Dracula, condemned to wander the centuries. He defies the fate of death itself, guided by a single hope to be reunited with his lost love. Dude, your camera has done it again. Your face is a couple black dots on a white pasty mass.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how I look.
That doesn't help.
That's kind of how I look. I mean, that's my face, really. A couple black dots on a white pasty mass. That's me. If you look at my driver's license, that's exactly what it looks like.
That's great. That's great. Fantastic. Yeah, so this actually, the trailer looks great. I just don't know how I feel about Caleb Jones as Dracula.
I think my problem is it's a bit too soon. Like Nosferatu is not even like cold in the grave yet, and we're coming out with another Dracula like movie. Like,
yeah, it looks like a combination of like, you know, the Bram Stoker, and then what was that one where they sort of did like a before he was Dracula when he was out in the battlefield.
They showed flashes of that in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, did they? Okay.
That's the core story of the original Dracula.
I forget
who written by Bram Stoker.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. But hey, look, Dracula is a massive moneymaker. Think about that billion-dollar theme park that they're building in fucking Romania.
Right.
Yeah, it's a Dracula theme park, bro.
Might have to go to that.
It's going to be open, I think,
road
before
trip.
October, too. Yeah, instead of Sal.
We'll go to Romania. Romania.
Do a road trip to Romania. I'm game. Let's do it.
That'd be fun. Bring some dirt back with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. New trailer for the horror film, Hokum, is now out. It's in theaters May 1st, when a reclusive novelist, Om Bram, played by Adam Scott, retreats to a remote Irish inn to scatter his parents' ashes. The staff's tales of ancient witch haunting the honeymoon suite take a hold of his mind. Soon, disturbing visions and shocking disappearance draw him into a nightmarish confrontation with the darkest corners of his past. This is a Neon film release.
Like Neon.
Neon's got some good shit. This might be a good one.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys have seen Keeper yet, but wee.
No.
You gotta watch it.
I don't think so. Is it streaming?
I think it's on digital.
I think it's on digital.
But it's not like on one of those subscription ones. Yeah.
I think it's at rental right now.
Yeah, you gotta watch that one. All right, that's all I got for hard news. You guys got anything?
I do not.
I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for that one coming out called Primate. Looks like it's about a killer chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Chimpanzee gone wild. Nothing like a chimpanzee ripping faces off. You know what? The problem with that premise is it's too close to reality. We've seen it in the past. I remember in the early 2000s, that lady in upstate New York had her face, her lips,
by her pet,
and everything.
By her pet chimp. It was her pet.
Yes.
And he became an adult chimp, and he's like, fuck you. I'm going to rip your face off.
Yeah, because remember, although they're smaller than us in stature and size, their muscle mass is two to three times human muscle mass.
I'm going to say four to five mine. Like, they're probably even greater than my muscle mass. go ahead.
Go ahead, go for it.
Yep. I was going to say, also, been watching Stranger Things. It's been slightly better than I anticipated, but I'll be glad when it's done. And also, the season finale of Welcome to Derry was really good.
Dude, that was phenomenal.
And you know what they're going to do two. I think they extended
great show.
Two more seasons.
Me like a couple hours for my brain to wrap around the fact that he doesn't time travel. He is throughout all
omnipresent.
Time. Yeah, he's
exists omnipresent
through
all
of them.
Time.
Yep. So I was trying to like picture how that's possible.
Yeah,
because
he knew she was somebody's daughter, right?
It was crazy. Yeah. So I was likening it to like an orange. You know how when you open an orange up and there's like all the different slices that make up the whole orange? And he's like in the middle of the orange, and each slice is like a different like decade. So he's like existing in all of them simultaneously, which is like mind-blowing.
And then when he says, your son and his friends bring upon my death.
Yeah.
Or is it my birth? He goes, and I'm like, fuck.
I thought
my
it was really good.
My brain is scrambled.
I thought it was really good. It was a great series. I'm looking forward to. I don't know if they've greenlit the next two. I know there's two that
they have.
Yeah, they have.
And I also
greenlit the next two. Yeah,
did they? Nice. And my nephew pointed out to me. He saw online that there's actually supposed to be an It Chapter 3 that follows up the series.
Not only that, I watched an interview with Andy Muschietti, and he said this.
Oh yeah.
The Kill Bill whole bloody affair made him think he wants to release It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 back-to-back with some connective new stuff in the middle as one big film.
Oh, man, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know if you had a chance to see... Yes. I don't know if you had a chance to see Kill Bill, the whole bloody affair, but they did.
No, I haven't.
Kill Bill Part 1 and Part 2 with some new animated sequences in the middle.
Really? How long is it like from front to back? Like 8 hours?
No, it was like 6.5.
No, that's not too bad.
6.5 hours.
It's a good like Saturday afternoon, especially this time of year.
Yeah. And the fact that it played so well, like so many people went to see it, is the real thing that made Andy Muschietti go, hey, I got to talk to Warner Brothers. I want to do this.
Yep.
Nice. That's all I have. Just, you know, those few things.
All right. Awesome.
Craig, got anything? Playing any horror video games?
I am.
What are you playing?
What are you playing?
Ayla right now.
Ayla, you got me on my
it's an acronym. I don't remember what it's for, but it's A.
Okay. Period,
just okay.
Dot, yeah, it's okay. It's just okay.
What's the premise?
It's about virtual reality. And it takes you in and out of virtual reality, and Ayla talks to you, and she sort of takes over your computer. And yeah.
Oh, interesting. All right, cool.
You don't know what's reality and what's not. Yeah, it's kind of cool. But like I said, it's me.
All right.
The monsters. All right. It's not scary. Let's put it that way.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
It's more like a thriller.
Yeah.
Sci-fi.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's supposed to be, though. Like, the monsters are dopey.
All right. All right. Let's do 5 flicks to watch. And that's me this month, and I'm going to do Shudder.
Oh, nice.
So, 5 flicks to Shudder. I know Christmas is over, but we're in the week after Christmas, so I'm going to point out all the great holiday flicks that they had.
Because they did have a specific category for that.
Yes, they had a holiday horror category, which is nice. Yep. We got Silent Night, Deadly Night, the original. I think it still holds up pretty well. Some of the dialogue is kind of corny,
yeah,
but it still holds up pretty well.
Yep.
Santa's Sleigh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude, the opening scene was the best.
Yeah, it's the best. It is. And when I showed it to my friends, they were like, "What the hell, James Caan, Frank Drescher?" I'm like, "Yeah, right. Yeah, too bad it's only at the beginning."
Yeah.
My third movie is Good Boy. What a great film. It's not anything that I expected it was going to be.
No,
it
and
totally.
Yeah, it was.
The perspective takes a while to get used to, like because it's from the dog's point of view. Like all the angles are like kind of uppish, and it took me a while to get my head like used to that view.
But really, the whole reveal of what the dog is actually witnessing was fucking sad as fuck.
Dude, it actually, I did tear up a little bit at the end of that movie when I was like, oh. But you know what?
What a great film, though. I think just amazing. The thing that blows my mind even more is watching the interview with the director, writer, director. That was his dog, and it was not a trained dog.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, there were some scenes that was tough.
Yeah, because he was, like, growling and stuff like that. Like,
well, and he said it took him 3 years to film the scenes because his dog is not well trained. But, man, what a film. I was really impressed by it.
I agree.
Krampus is my fourth film.
It's classic. Classic.
It's an annual for me. It's an annual film for me.
Great cast. And
yeah. And another one that is not a horror one, kind of like Good Boy's not a comedy one. This one's not a holiday one, nor is this one Arcadian, which we watched a while back ago.
That's Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, yeah. And Alien Invasion.
Yeah.
Decent film. Worth watching.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our top five list. Our top five list this month is our top five favorites from films we have reviewed during 2025. And yes. The list goes this way. It goes Craig, Sal, Chris.
Yes.
All right. So, number five, I went with Terrified.
What just happened? What the fuck did I
get? One of them shadow creatures came up out of the the upside down or whatever it was, and like,
yeah. The fuck.
Anywho,
sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Number five, I went with Terrified.
That one we watched just a handful of months ago, like four months ago.
Yeah,
it was 3 months ago.
Fairly recent. Like it was a foreign film. I believe it was Argentinian. Could be wrong.
Venezuela. Yeah, I think it was by the same guy that did When the Evil Lurks.
Yep. Same cat that did that.
Nice. Okay.
Number four, The Ugly Stepsister.
That's a good one.
Another fun movie. Just fun movie.
I rewatched it. I rewatched it with the English dub.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They brought it on board, I think. Where did they put that? Was that on Shudder, or did they put that?
It's on Shudder, and actually, when you select it, it says at the bottom of the screen, English dub version.
How did they do? They did okay with it?
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. I'm glad we watched the natural language version, the native language version, but it was good to have the English version, too.
Yeah. All right, cool. Might have to revisit that. Number three, I went with Substance.
It's a good flick.
It's a good one. It's
good flick. I have a feeling we're going to have the same movies on. Number two might surprise you guys. I went with Sinners from my number two.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that it's on your list.
Yep.
Right.
Number two spot. Number one, I went with The Monkey Man.
That's a good film.
It was a good film. It was a good film.
That was my favorite. It was tough.
It was, I mean,
solid.
I got a feeling that all three of us are going to have very similar lists.
Maybe switched around a little bit,
switch, ordering of it, but same movies. So.
Yeah.
All right. My top five is number five, The Ugly Stepsister. Like I said, I watched it a second time, English dub version. The movie is so fucking gross, but man, is it good.
Yeah.
Dude, the sound effects for that were really good.
Oh, man.
He's like breaking her teeth and shit.
Mm. Oh, man.
Oh, the nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
While he's high on coke.
Yeah.
My number four is Get Away.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. With his name? From
It was Nick Frost. It was very funny. Frost.
Yeah.
Very funny and unexpected.
It seemed really kind of slow at first.
That I did not.
That
expect.
Was my number six, so it almost made my top five.
Nice. My number three, The Monkey.
Okay.
I just watched that one again recently too because it's such a great film.
It is fun.
Full of gore and lots of fun.
I think my favorite part is where that girl goes to dive into the pool and just explodes, and he's standing there and just like you see the intestines flying and the blood like. Almost like a mist, like a fine mist of blood.
My still the best part, I think, is the very ending when the monkey does a and kills everybody in the town. And as they're driving out, like people are dying everywhere. Yeah. But my favorite part is the cheerleaders hanging out of the bus and the tractor trailer goes and it just decapitates every one of them as it goes by.
Entire. Yep.
That was awesome.
Just full of like great.
Oh yeah,
murder scenes.
You know, I know that it was based off of a short story, but you really could do a sequel to that because
certainly
someone else could find that, get that monkey, and
more
mayhem could ensue.
Winds up in another town. Yep.
My number two, The Substance.
Nice.
That film was just. That was the first film we reviewed this year in 2025, it was. Love that film.
I think that may have been my number one movie of 2024.
Probably. Probably because it was one of those films that was just like,
yeah,
damn. And my number one, which I'm sure you guys were expecting, it to I saw it 50 fucking times.
Yep.
I've taken other people to see it. I've bragged it and showed it to other people. I bought it on Blu-ray and 4K, and I watched it in IMAX four times. So
you got a tattoo of smoke on one shoulder and a tattoo of stack and stack on the other shoulder.
Yeah. And across my back is a crucified Remick.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it was a good flick. Nice. And,
all right, that's it. That's my five.
All right, I mean, there's going to be some similar ones on here, obviously, because we only reviewed 12 movies for last year. So my number five is Hunter Hunter. That was the one with Devon Sawa with the the last scene of that movie, just like that chick went psycho and like, you know, crazy shit.
It was great.
My number four is The Monkey.
Craig, your echo is off the charts again.
Just talked about The Monkey. My number three, The Ugly Stepsister.
Again, good film. Really gross.
Yeah. My number two, The Substance. And my number one, Sinners. I gave Substance a lot of love last year. So I you know, Sinners was a 2025 movie. So, and we reviewed it this year. And it was, I mean, such a great movie.
Wow, so your last three were just like mine, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's funny shit.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Just such a great... It was, you know, I'm just in preparation for next month. It's, even though we're selecting a top 10, it's still going to be difficult.
There was a lot of good movies. Because
2025, yeah, there were so many great movies in
2025. And not just movies, but also series. There was some really...
Yeah, because we
had a series that came out and Netflix movies. You know, like there was 2025 was a great year for horror.
Yep.
Yeah. And I got a feeling I'm looking at like, you know, sequels and shit that's coming out this year. I got a feeling 2026 is going to be another year for horror.
Yeah, because the Scream one comes out in February.
Yeah.
And that's.
Yeah. Awesome. Very good. All right, let us move on to our movie review. The movie this month is...
Craig picked it.
The Sacrifice Game. Craig picked it. You...
Yeah, I picked it because it was a good holiday movie.
It was. It was a good holiday movie.
Actually, it was a great holiday movie. Yeah. It might be. Might have to add it to the list of more... horror movies to watch
at
Christmas time. Let's go over real briefly what this movie is, some information about it. So The Sacrifice Game, quick synopsis. The Black Veil School for Girls in 1971. It's bad enough that student Samantha, played by Madison Baines, and Carla, played by Gregory Akin, can't go home for the holidays. But things take a deadly turn when a gang of cult leaders arrives at their doorstep just in time for Christmas. Directed by Gene Wexler, produced by Philip Kalanhaju, Albert Malamed, Heather Buckley, Todd Slater, screenwriter Jen Wexler, and Sean Redlitz. It's distributed by Shudder. The production company is Red Seal Media, Real by Fake, Doko Digital, multiple producers here, huh? Covoke Media, AMG Music Film Television. The genre is a horror, holiday horror in English language. It was released December 8th, 2023 on Shudder only, and the runtime about an hour, 30 minutes. This is one of those Shudder originals that Shudder put a bunch of money into in order to get exclusively on the streaming service. Shudder has a way of picking really decent films.
Yeah,
you know, I agree. There's a lot of horror streaming services out there. Shudder's not the only one, but I will say that Shudder seems to put the largest amount of their budget into supporting independent filmmakers that are making decent films.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I haven't looked at other services just because I think Shudder's done a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of got me hooked in, so I don't really want to jump off and I even have two at the same time. So it's sort of stupid, but
yeah, I did the Screenbox 7-day trial.
Same here. I did it for the Art the Clown U log.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and they had some decent films on there, but their original series and original films are not as good as Shudder.
Yeah, yeah.
They got a lot of old shit.
So yeah, yeah, hats off to Shudder, like I said, for keeping me.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah,
for
yeah. Sure. Yeah, I will say that Shudder is one of the services that I've kept the longest. Like a lot of my services, I cancel for a period and bring back. Mm-hmm. Shudder's the only one I haven't done that to. I keep it, I pay for it every month because I like watching Joe Bob. That's like one of the things I watch the most on there.
Yeah, Joe Bob's fun.
And then, yeah, and then a lot of their original stuff and some of their other crap. I also like to turn it on and just have it, you know, they have three different channels that stream constantly.
Yeah.
I just turn it on like regular TV while I'm cooking and watch whatever the hell's on.
Yeah, because you never know what's going to pop up on there.
And sometimes you'll be watching, like, the next film is, and like, oh, fuck, I love that film. You know? Yeah.
No, and like, films like The Ugly Stepsister, that was on everybody's list.
Yeah.
That was exclusive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's one that, it wasn't called a Shudder original.
I mean,
but
it
Shudder
wasn't a
did,
I think it was in the theater for a little
bit. Yeah, Shudder did pay a lot of money to have exclusivity of that. Yeah. And I'm hearing it's up for a fucking Oscar.
What? For real?
Yeah. Yes.
Probably for sound.
Yes.
Right?
I don't know design, for maybe? Which one. I think it was for special effects.
Okay. Mm. Well, I mean, there was some good sound effects for sure.
But the thing is, an independent film like that.
That's impressive.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, and a foreign film too.
And that's what it's going to take for Shudder to continue to do this. Is they need to get a couple of them that they pay for to get some recognition to help bring more traffic to their service.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I will say this. I don't get paid anything by Shudder, but I mention it to everybody. I tell everyone about it because I love horror and I want everyone else to love horror too. And I said, if you want to get a good streaming service, that's a decent price.
And they've
and
kept
it.
Yeah,
good value.
They kept the price reasonable too, right?
Yeah. They don't keep jacking it up every year like everybody else does.
And if you ask me, they've jacked it up a couple bucks a few years back, but you know what? They've increased the value with that too. The mm-hmm. films are getting better.
For sure.
All right. So this film, I think it's Canadian.
Yeah.
It seemed like most of them were Canadian actors and actresses, but overall, it was entertaining. It seemed a little slow in the beginning. Like there were some.
I mean,
weird
the very, very
that,
first scene started off good.
There
I
was
thought,
some good
right?
blood and guts right off the bat. Like
right off the bat, so you knew that this was a no bullshit thing. But they were doing like a. It was a flashback from yeah. like an earlier time, right?
The song
but even
was pretty
so,
cool too. That in the beginning scene, that song they were playing. I think it was a band called Ellie Witches. I recognized it.
Yeah, I think that's why AMG Music Group is one of the producers because they provided, yep. they must have provided the soundtrack. Yep.
Yeah, it definitely got the 70s vibe with it. Like, you definitely felt like you
I
were
like
watching.
That too. Like, sounded grindhousey 70s.
Yeah, having it be like a period piece was pretty good.
It definitely
good
felt like that. Like, I yeah. felt like I was watching a 70s horror for sure.
Yep. Yep. But the whole premise, and let's just stop right here and say there's going to be spoilers.
yeah, because so
if you didn't watch it now, then you might want to stop this programming here and
go watch
come
it.
Back with
you
us
come back
after you
listen.
Watch it. So the whole premise here is, you know, you got students at a school,
like an all
that has
was it an all girls school, like a crack.
It seemed that
like
way,
all, like a Catholic. All
it
girls
was like
school.
A Catholic all girls school,
like a boarding school,
and. Right, and somebody, one of the girls discovers some witchcraft books in the basement or in their library or wherever and gets a spell for whatever and starts this, like, cult around this summoning a demon or whatever. And then they go into the future, and now there's still a girls' school there and there's this satanic cult gang. They're performing some rituals, so they've had some human skin with them that they cut off of a person earlier.
Of a priest. They cut off a priest.
Yeah, off of a priest, off of like his stomach. And then they get stopped by the cops, and the cops sees the skin, and they kill him. And the cops shoots one of their guys, so they need to get help, and they go to the girls' school under the premise, oh, we need help, our friend got shot, and, you know, whatever.
That guy was creepy as shit. The guy who got shot, he definitely gave off, like, child molester vibes.
Dude, not, I was just going to say, not, like, creepy in a horror way, but, like, in a kid fucker way.
Oh, yeah, you know? He definitely had, like, child molester vibes, man. I'm like, this guy is creepy as shit. I can't wait for him to die.
Yeah, I'm like, why is he, like, talking this way? But, you know, he seems really creepy, dude. Like,
yeah.
He should not be at all girls school. He's probably one of those guys that really legally shouldn't be within 500 yards of a school.
Yeah.
You know?
They did a good job. Like each one of the people in that cult, like had like a different kind of like culty personality. Like the guy who was like the leader guy, he played like a really good asshole.
Like, yes, like giant asshole.
Like alpha male. Like knew everything and was like the best guy. And like he was such a fucking asshole. Like I was like, ah, God, I hope this guy
That's
dies.
That's good acting, though, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And the same thing with the girl that graduated in the class of 63, did she say? 62 or 63? Because right, this is taking place in 1971. Even she played kind of like the dim-witted, dumb girl that got this spell book or whatever, didn't really know what she was into.
Yeah.
And then that one girl who's like the younger looking one.
The quiet weirdo.
And I felt a little weird when that guy said she was being cooperative.
Yeah.
The way he said it.
Oh. Yeah.
There was definitely like something about that girl. Like, you know, like it was like weird the whole time. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it right away. Maya watched it with me and she caught it before I did. The big twist.
Twist.
Yeah. And I caught it too before the reveal. I was like, oh, okay. I get it.
It was great though. I thought the setup was really good, you know, and I thought like how they pieced it all together. Like I thought that was great, and she was great. Like once that demon kicked in, like the scene of her dancing and stuff. Like I thought that girl did a really good job with that role.
Yeah, I think so too. I was really impressed, and I mean.
Sorry.
It was kind of weird when she started pulling up her shirt and revealing like the.
Yeah. Well, when they first like looked at her arm and you saw, like I said, well, those aren't normal cuts on her arm. Like, you know, people who cut themselves. I said, those look like she's like cutting a pattern or something like that.
Yeah.
So
the reveal at the end is that the little girl
is the
actually the demon
that they were trying to summon.
Well, actually, the spell that was originally placed on the demon was a binding spell.
Yeah, not a summoning
spell.
To keep
her in the school. And the spell that the girl found in the basement that they were trying to execute and actually executed was not a summoning spell, but an unbinding spell to let her go.
Yeah. Right. But they had to finish one last part because the girl only stole that one page from the book. And when she saw that, like the picture in the book was exactly the same as the symbols that the girl got cut on her, she's like, "Oh man, I kind of fucked up." Like he's like, "What do you mean you fucked up?" Well, it's not really a summoning spell.
It's an unbinding spell.
And then that
let the demon go.
That asshole, like the leader guy, he thought he was the demon. He was like, "Oh, like I'm the fucking vessel. I'm the fucking vessel."
But the thing is, she did something to all of their brains, right?
Right, because she whispered,
"The demon.
Hell is waiting for you."
Yeah, like she was like, you know, manipulating them with whispers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the only part that I had a hard time with was the other girl. Like she let her go. She said, "You go
at the very end. Yeah, yeah.
You go. I'm gonna stay here." And she's like, "I can't leave you." And they're not. They weren't really. They just became friends like quickly. Like they didn't really know each other that well.
Yeah. And that was the thing that was a little confusing too. Because even the demon gave that fucking speech. "I've seen 1,000 girls like you. You're not my friend." And because they reveal like through all the yearbooks, this girl is the same age.
Which is kind of cool when they started doing that. I was like, "Oh shit!
Yeah.
She's been around a while."
Yeah.
But then that girl like went and she went to the guard booth and found the dead like you know security guard there and then decided to go back to the school. I'm like, I don't know. That girl doesn't come across like that to me. And I'm like, well, why would you go back? So that was like the only part of the movie. Like I was like, eh. It kind of made it kind of corny there at the end.
It's almost like a Stephen King story. The ending sucked.
Yeah. Up until like the last like 10 minutes, I was vibing well with that movie. And then I was like, eh, they kind of like fumbled the ending, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I felt the same thing. Like I said, the demon gave the speech about how she didn't even like the girl. And then all of a sudden they're best friends. And I'm like, what?
They like walk down the street skipping and holding hands like to end the movie. I'm like, wait.
What the fuck?
What kind of ending is that?
something didn't make sense. But that was my only complaint about the whole film. You know?
I thought the visual effects were great. Like, I actually winced when they cut the skin off that priest. Like, that was a pretty good, like, you know.
Yeah. Although I'm trying to think, the sound design.
It was okay.
It was average.
Yeah.
But with all that in mind, let's go ahead and give it a rating. So we'll start off with visuals.
I gave it a 3. I thought the practical effects were pretty good. Nothing blew me away, you know. But it was a good 70s. Yeah, 3. You know,
3 works for me. Yeah.
Costume design was good.
Yeah, like I said, I like the way it looked as far as you know, taking you back in the 70s.
Yeah, the sound design, I'm gonna say that's average. So that's probably like 2.5.
Yeah, that's what I would say too.
Sure.
There were some good songs.
I like the soundtrack. I don't know if you want to throw if that is part of sound design. I guess
I would say so.
It's background.
Yeah, but I was looking more for like some of the shit they were doing to be a little more glurpy, slurpy kind of, especially the skin cutting and all that crap.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right.
2.5 works.
The acting overall. Now, some of them were decent actors and some were not decent actors.
Right. So I thought it was average. I some, like you said, some shined, some were just.
Yeah.
So I gave that a 3. I'm going to say
a 3. Yeah, 3 works for me. I feel a 3 there.
Sure. 3.
The story overall. I thought the story overall was pretty different, pretty unique. I liked it.
I thought
the ending was a little meh, but the story overall was decent. I'm going to say 3.5.
I said 4 for that.
Yeah, I gave it a 4.
All right, 4 it is. The fun and fear factor. All right, wasn't that scary?
No, but it was a fun movie. I thought like
it was a fun movie, and you know, there were some gross parts of it. You know, creepy, gross. I'm going to say for fun fear factor a 3.
I also gave it a 3 for that.
3 works.
3 it is. That gives us an overall of 3.5 for The Sacrifice.
All right.
A Shudder exclusive. So if you don't got Shudder, you can't see it.
But, I know, that's what I hate. I don't know how many people that listen have Shudder.
They should. If they listen to the show, they should have Shudder.
Dude, like we've been talking about Shudder since it came online. Because
we do talk about a lot of the movies that are on Shudder. I mean,
we give the 5 flicks from Shudder. We review stuff on Shudder. Man, Shudder.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we've been in there since the jump. I think since Shudder has been released, we've been on it.
Yep. We watched the user interface change over the years.
And got much better.
The first live stream of the Chainsaw Awards, that was a fucking disaster.
Yeah, it was. I'm like, there's nothing showing, Mitch. It's like a...
Yeah, and then they changed format, and which stinks to the high hell.
Yeah.
They haven't gone back to the old format. Like,
I really hope they would, because I thought they went to the new format. They had enough
people in the theater, remember? COVID? The first one, they had all those people in the theater. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it was more like a live thing. That would be awesome.
Yeah, the red carpet. I know. They could probably do it again. They should.
I bet they don't because it costs too much money.
They won't. They've stuck with that stupid
pre-recorded like skits and whatnot. And
that was the first year they did that. Was that David Dastmalchian was the host?
Yeah.
Do you guys know? Like he's like originally from Allentown or something.
Is he really?
I think he was. I think he was born or something in Allentown.
Didn't know that.
He moved fairly early, though, but I think he was born in Allentown and then moved to California or something when he was younger. Hmm. Pretty young, I guess, but I want to say he was born. Hmm. He's definitely a Pennsylvania dude.
Yeah, he grew up in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Way to go, David. He was born
July 21st, 1975 in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
There you have it.
His mother and father, Priscilla and Hoisin Dasmalchin. They were Iranian American.
Nice. Wow. He does some good stuff.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. What was I saying?
Talking about Shudder.
We're just wrapping up the Shudder. Yeah. Let me just do my normal outro wrap here. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the American Nightmare podcast. This is, episode 93. We do this just for the fun of it. I know I'm late with all my editing. In fact, I didn't even release the last fucking recording. So this weekend, I'll release that one and probably try to get this one done in one sitting. It's because I am lazy, unmotivated, and I make excuses for all the busy shit I do. This is what happens to me because I've got ADHD and a little bit of autism, and that's... When I have something on the schedule ahead of me, I hyperfixate on it and I can't do anything else. Yeah. Even though that thing I have to do is days away, I'm like, and I can't. So what happens, I've been working weekends. The last 4 weekends I had to work.
Yuck.
And the weekend before Christmas, I worked 9 hours on Saturday. And what happens is when I'm scheduled to do this shit at work, I just hyper focus on it and I can't get anything else done until that's completed on Saturday. So anyway, leave us an email at feedback@American-nightmare.com, or you can give us a phone call at 1-562-247-5855. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us how much you love listening to our voices. And give us some top 5 recommendations or film recommendations. That would be awesome.
Sure would.
All right. Until next month.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year.